Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ, Yahushua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and we've been going through the book of Genesis yesterday. To recap, we met Noah when he was 500 years old. He had an encounter with the Creator, who told him to build an ark and gave him the details on how to build this great boat, barge, or because it really wasn't like a navigable boat. He wasn't going anywhere. He was just trying to stay above the water. 100 years later, after receiving this instruction, the floods came. So for 100 years, the gospel of Noah and his flood spread throughout the earth. That's what is implied here. And, you know, you think about it, the population on the earth is in the millions now, and people are spread out far and wide. And for the most part, the Heavenly Father, from the word that he gave to Noah and is recorded in the Genesis account for us, he wasn't pleased with this creation. He wasn't pleased with the minds of people, that the thoughts, the imagination of their heart was evil continually. It's an interesting word, imagination. We were talking about image before we got into the book of Genesis, and the root word for imagination is image. It's imagination. And the imaginations of their heart were evil continually. People build images with their minds, and our image, our ability to image things, to imagine things, can be a very good and creative tool. It's a good thing. Our Creator made it. He made us in His image and after His likeness, and He imaged everything. And by the word of His mouth, the power of the word of His mouth, He spoke what He imaged or imagined into existence. So He designed it first in His mind, such as the mind of God is, which is far beyond our mind, but since we are created in His image, we know that He has a mind that imagines things, and He imagined the whole creation. But the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. The power to image was being used for the wrong thing. And there was a lot of good things that came out of the imagination, too, as it was displayed in the lineage of even the lineage of Cain, where the sons of Cain became artificers in brass, the father of all that, you know, that made musical instruments and all that worked in iron and things like that. So they could use their power to image things and then to create on that image for good. And we all see the result of the imagination, the good results of the imagination of men around us all the time. So there is a good purpose for the imagination. But the imagination of man's heart was evil continually, and the earth was filled with violence. For 100 years after the Heavenly Father Yahweh came to Noah and said and told him what he was going to do and why he was going to do it. And Noah here is building this boat on dry land. And we also know that it had not rained up to this point, but rather a dew went up, a mist went up from the face of the earth and watered the face of the earth. That's explicit. We know that's true. And the reason the explanation is in there is to tell us that it hadn't rained yet. And I like the Hovind theory about the water that was above the firmament, that it was a shell around the earth. It encapsulated the earth. It created a higher atmospheric pressure. The oxygen was content of the earth was greater. And we know that the medical uses for a hyperbaric chamber, and they're being discovered what a great thing it is to raise the pressure and increase the oxygen for life. It increases the growth. It increases the size. It increases the healing power to things. So we know that these things are true. And that before the flood, that given the atmospheric pressure, the slight increase in the oxygen in the atmosphere, it's no wonder that the lizards could grow for many, many years and become great, so great and large that they were as big as, well, what we call today the skeletons of dinosaurs. Because, well, we know as a fact that lizards, as long as they live, they never stop growing. And, you know, not like us. We reach an age of maturity and we stop growing. But the lizard never stops growing. It just gets bigger and bigger. And of course, their life is limited by the new atmospheric conditions under which we live now, the changes that took place during the flood and that catastrophe, which also limited the lifespan of man. So it limited the lifespan of lizards too, and they only grow as long as they live, and their life being shortened, they never grow for hundreds of years. So just think, if a lizard, which never stops growing in size, could live for hundreds of years, imagine how big those lizards would get. And they are the dinosaurs. And that's part of the Hovind theory, and I think that holds a lot of water. Another thing that I wanted to address was Cain and the mark that was put on Cain. I kind of glossed over it yesterday, but meditating on it after the program yesterday and this morning a little bit more, I thought of some of these theories and some of these really bad theories. That there is a theory out there that the mark on Cain was that his skin was turned black, and that Cain was the father of all the black men. Well, that's just a lie, and I'll demonstrate that to you. Number one, if Cain was the father of all the black men and the progenitor of all the black people on earth, and that mark put on him made all the black people the seed of Cain, a lot of people believe this for a long time, and there are a lot of people that still believe this, but it creates problems. Because the problem is that all of the black people, if that was true, and all of Cain's descendants would have died in the flood. But not to worry, they came up with another theory for the flood to compensate for this problem. Because how could that be true if all the black people died from the flood and we still have black people? Well, they came up with this theory of the local flood, okay? And there's another guy out there, what's his name? Hugh Ross. He wrote a book, and he's a big believer in the gap theory. So the people that believe in the gap theory, and then there's the people that believe in the two atoms theory. There was an atom created in the first book of Genesis, and then there was an atom created in the second book of Genesis. So there are actually two different accounts of two different creations. Well, that doesn't wash either. And so all these people included with them the racists who want to believe that the black people are a lower race, or that they were the cursed seed of Cain, they have that problem, and they all believe in the local flood, because the worldwide flood washes their theory away, okay? And their theory gets washed away with the flood, so the word is a witness against all of these other theories, all these counterfeits. So they came up with the local flood theory, that it just, you know, it just rained and flooded Noah's world, right? And then everyone outside Noah's little universe, outside Noah's world, the locale where Noah was, well, they all lived through the flood. And that's why we still have the seed of Cain and the black people, and see, all of their theories now live because they localized the flood. Well, that doesn't wash either, because you know what? Their God is stupid. Number one, like Ken Hovind says, they could have just told Noah to move. I mean, 100 years? He could have moved to where it wasn't going to flood. And another thing, that doesn't make any sense, because, you know, here the Creator, Yahuwah, our Creator, comes to Noah, and the Scripture says that Noah found favor. Noah found grace. See, and what does that mean? That our Heavenly Father is going to extend grace to Noah. By what? Flooding his locality? And let everyone outside of his locality, escape the punishment? So that doesn't make any sense. You found favor in my sight, Noah, so I'm going to flood your neighborhood. I'm going to make you spend 100 years building a boat. You got 100 years, Noah, because on your 600th year, I'm going to flood the whole earth. So build a boat, stay in here where I'm going to flood it, And see, it just doesn't wash. It doesn't make any sense at all. So let's just believe the pure word of God. We have the witness of his word. We don't need to add anything to it. There's no gaps. He didn't write the book and leave gaps for us to fill in with our imagination. And the book of Enoch, throw it out. You know, it's an interesting read. Well, it's not that interesting. To tell you the truth, I found it really boring. You know, it's like bad fiction, really. And it's a shame that people believe in it. Yes, it is a historical document. We could probably date it back to, you know, sometime after Christ, 200-300 years, whatever. But it wasn't written by the Enoch of scripture fame, who was in the son of Shem that walked with God and was taken. He didn't write that book. It just, the witness isn't true. So anyway, and it came to pass in the 600th year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And I'm at Genesis 8:13. And Noah removed the covering from the ark and looked, behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month of the seventh, on the seventh and the 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring forth with thee every living thing that was with thee of all the flesh, both fowl, cattle, everything that creeps and upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. It's a new beginning. They're getting the same command that they got, that Adam and Eve got in the garden before they fell. But still, they are still the sons of Adam. They are still born. Every one of them was born with a death sentence, a mortality, a sentence of mortality, a life of grace in which they could choose, by faith, obedience, and that grace would end in mortality. Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And every beast, and every creeping thing, and all the fowl, all the creatures were let off of the ark. And they went off forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto Yahuwah. And it is actually the name of the Lord here, where it says the Lord. And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered a burnt offerings on the altar. So Noah got off and he practiced the sacrifice that was demonstrated to Adam and Eve, the sacrifice that was taught to all of his sons and daughters. And what does this sacrifice say? When they practiced the sacrifice out of obedience to our Heavenly Father, they were saying, I choose obedience. And to demonstrate my obedience, I'm going to practice this sacrifice. And this tells me that I'm looking forward to the promised Redeemer who will shed his blood to pay the price for my sins to redeem me. By faith I'm doing this because I believe your word. And I will love you and I will demonstrate my love for you by keeping your commandment. And I will love my neighbor as myself, because that is your commandment. That's part of the commandments. To love you, to demonstrate my faith, and to love my neighbor as myself. We talked about Cain and Abel, how Abel was faithful. He was, his parents were looking to him as the promised seed through whom the Messiah would become, because he was faithful. And then they saw Cain, who was the opposite, who did not love his neighbor, and he did not keep the commandments of the Heavenly Father. Yes, he practiced a sacrifice, but he brought the wrong sacrifice. He brought the works of his own hands. In his pride, he was saying, my works, my religion is now works-based. Heavenly Father, you have to accept the work of my hands. Because, look, you're accepting the work of Abel's hands, because Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a sheep herder. He raised sheep. What did he raise sheep for? Well, he raised them for wool and for the sacrifice. Let's continue. So Noah demonstrates his faith. He demonstrates his obedience. So he is having church here. He and his family are members of the ecclesia. They're bringing the required sacrifice. And Yahuwah smelled a sweet savor. And what's the sweet savor? The sweet savor is really obedience. And we all know that when the meat is cooking on the barbecue, it smells pretty good. And they were eating of that sacrifice. But the sweet savor for our Heavenly Father, for Yahuwah, it was obedience. That's what it was. And that's what that demonstrates, what he smells, so to speak, when we're obedient to him. Our obedience is a sweet savor to our Heavenly Father. So let us live a life of obedience by crossing the border into his kingdom, really truly becoming a member of the remnant, ecclesia, that has been in existence from the beginning and is the same today. It's the same ecclesia. We don't have to do the sacrifice. Oh, we do the sacrifice. Oh, that's so crude and that bloody religion and all that. You know, I've heard all these things, you know, and I've heard these things from people that will go to the restaurant or to McDonald's and get a hamburger or enjoy a really good steak on the barbecue. Don't they realize their hypocrisy in talking about a bloody religion? An animal is sacrificed for their hamburger. An animal is sacrificed for that steak that they throw on the barbecue. What hypocrisy for them to, you know, to rail against the religion and the sacrifice of old when they're practicing the same thing. Yes, we still practice sacrifices. It isn't the sacrifice for sin anymore, because that was fulfilled by the Hebrew Messiah, by the promised Redeemer. He made a sacrifice of his blood once for all, because his sacrifice was adequate. The sacrifice of animals was never adequate. That's why they had to keep having a new sacrifice continually. But he did away with the sacrifice. Genesis 8:21. And Yahuwah, the Lord, smelled a sweet savor, and Yahuwah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So we all know that's true. We all have evil imaginations. And our evil imagination is because of the mortality of our flesh, the corruption of our flesh with which we were born into. And so the imagination of our heart, the evil imagination, it doesn't say we only have evil imagination, because we know that's not true either. But the evil imagination of our heart is temptation. That's what it is. It's temptation. It's the temptation to do wrong. And we know we're all tempted. And that temptation never ends. We just learn to rule over it rather than have it rule over us. And I drew the comparison yesterday, briefly, of how when Cain was confronted for his sin, the Heavenly Father said, sin lieth at the door, and its desire shall be for you, but you shall rule over it. And you see, that's the same language that was used after Adam and Eve sinned, where the Father said that her desire shall be for you, but you shall rule over her. See, it's the same language. So it clarifies more the meaning that the woman would desire to rule over the husband, just as sin desires to rule over us, and sin desired to rule over Cain, and did rule over Cain by the imagination of his heart. Because he imagined the evil, he was tempted by the evil, and he gave in. He allowed the evil to rule over him, rather than him being obedient to the Heavenly Father and ruling over the imagination, ruling over the evil, ruling over the sin. So he said, verse 21, chapter 8, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. The curse of the ground was sufficient. He said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So what he did in the flood, he said he's not going to do it again. There's never going to be another great flood like some of those movies that they have out there. And, you know, the effects, you know, are just amazing in some of these movies, the graphics and stuff. They're just really fantastic. And, you know, I enjoy these kind of movies. I really do. But I know, because they remind me of his word, I know that he's not going to allow this to happen. You know, no meteorite is gonna, or global warming or whatever, you know, is gonna turn the world into a refrigerator or a freezer. It's not gonna happen because we have this promise here. And I would rather believe his word than live in fear of all of these imaginations of men. So neither again will I smite thee any more, the earth, and every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, now this is his word, while the earth remaineth, and I look out the window, I woke up this morning, whew, the earth remaineth. Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Whew. You know, it's not going to happen from global warming or a meteor or all of these fearful things of the imagination of men. We don't have to worry about that. What a load off, okay? For all you people out there living in fear, worried about, you know, how these evil men of the earth are going to send a nuclear explosion up to Saturn and it's going to devastate the earth. They may really be trying to do something like this. And I laugh when I hear these things, but there are people that really believe this stuff, that it's going to happen. But I have a promise here. You know, I have the word of my Heavenly Father, and he gave this to us. And he spoke it, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So we don't have to live in fear of all of these imaginations, the images of men. We don't have to live in fear. Sorry, Al Gore, the world's not going to end because there are a few cows farting on the hill. It just ain't going to happen. Chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. So what's he doing? He's repeating something here. The dominion decree. They are still under your dominion. And, you know, by one man, death came into the earth. And death passed on to every living creature in his dominion. So the animals die too. And every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. What does this mean? I'll tell you what this means to a lot of people. This means to a lot of people that they don't have to stop eating bacon. They're just fixated on pork. And, you know, diet is such a controlling factor that it's just amazing to me. People will die rather than change their diet, even if they know what they're eating is killing them, that they are so consumed and so controlled by their diet that they will not change. It's a matter of pride for them. But all they're saying is that I'm a man of appetite. I will not change. Now, Noah demonstrated already getting off the ark that he lived a life of obedience. Noah would have never put a pig on the altar because a pig was unclean. The law was before. He knew that, I mean, obviously, when the Heavenly Father said, seven of every clean kind, but only a pair of every unclean kind you shall bring into the ark. So it's demonstrated that the law of clean and unclean was in existence before the ark. We have the word. That's what it says. So we know that the law of unclean and unclean existed before, and that they only sacrificed the clean animals as part of their obedience in carrying out and demonstrating their faith by that obedience. So when he says here, basically, we know that the vegetation, the herb, was their food. But there was a change in their diet. When they had the sacrifice, they ate the sacrifice. Okay? But now, what's the change here? He says, as I gave you the herb, okay, now you can eat the meat. All he's saying here is that they could eat meat not just for the sacrifice, but they could integrate it into their diet as a regular part of their diet. It was not restricted just to the sacrifice. They could now eat clean meat as a part of their diet. And as you go forward into the law, this is demonstrated again. The Creator didn't make a rule, change his mind, and then change his mind again. I'll be back after these brief messages.